welcome to Tiny Urban Homesteading. I'm your host, Justine. I'm a blogger and YouTuber of Country Girl in a Small and City World. I'm excited that you're here with me on this crazy journey of urban homesteading. I hope you enjoy our episode today and find this information useful and you want to come back for more. So here we go. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Tiny Urban Homesteading Podcast. Today we are on episode number 3 of season 2, and we're going to talk a little bit about preparing your spring garden and how much you should grow for your urban homestead. Spring is here, so that means you need to be starting now, preparing everything you need to start your garden so that you will be able to produce a wonderful harvest and bounty for your family going into the summer and fall months. So let's get on with the podcast. I'm so excited that spring is finally here. It is nice to hear the birds chirping, seeing all the flowers blossoming, and seeing all the bees come back, you know, to produce that amazing honey. So it has been so enlightening and joyful to see finally we have reached springtime. And for myself, I'm so excited because that means I get to start planting my garden. And every year I get so excited. But I will tell you what, last year I was behind when it came to starting my garden. I felt like I was really behind the ball because there was so much going on, obviously, with COVID that I forgot to get my seeds, to get everything I needed in order to have a nice harvest for the summer and the fall months. So now is the perfect time for you and your urban homestead to evaluate what you want in your garden, how you want to set up your garden, and exactly how much you need to grow to have a nice bounty for your family throughout the summer and the fall months. Now, first and foremost, the one thing you need to look at is how many people are you feeding on your urban homestead? That's very important because you never want to overproduce a product that you may not eat as much frequently. And you'd obviously want to make sure you have enough. So if it's something that you're consuming on a weekly basis, then it's something that you want to have a lot more of compared to something that you may not consume as frequent. So the first and foremost is obviously knowing how many people you're feeding. And maybe you have kids in your household or adults that don't like vegetables. And so you don't have to really grow it for them because they're very fussy and they don't like that kind of item. So you have to really look at that because that's going to be kind of the ground floor of your whole entire garden, because you have to have that number to know exactly how much you're going to plant, because that's going to dictate a lot of other factors when starting your garden. Number two, you need to make a list of what products, I should say produce, that you're consuming on a daily basis or weekly basis. That's very vital because you don't want to plant anything you're not going to consume enough of, because that is kind of a waste of time, space, and money if you're not going to consume that product as frequently as something else. Write down a list of everything that you purchase in a grocery store produce-wise. So for myself, what I'll do is I'll take all my receipts from the past month grocery shopping and see what produce that I was buying quite frequently. For myself here and my husband in our urban homestead, we consume a lot of lettuce, tomatoes, fresh herbs such as basil, parsley, and dill. We also love peppers, jalapeno peppers. We like things such as potatoes, radishes. So I write all those items down and I kind of compile a list of items that I think would successfully grow in my urban backyard homestead. For us, it's a little tricky. We're very limited to the amount of area that we have. And now that's moving into the next topic, is spacing. So you may already have this list of things you want to grow, but you need to look at your spacing. Spacing is a big factor because some things may not grow as bountiful as you would like because of the limited amount of space and how you have to grow within your homestead. Now, some people have the ability to have these big raised beds in their urban homestead and they're able to grow a lot of different items. Myself, we have a back porch and that's it. So all of our garden is container gardens. We have to be very creative. Last year I did a hydroponic garden where I did peppers, chives, tomatoes, and it was great for as long as it went. Let me tell you, I did have some hiccups due to squirrels knocking over my tomato plants and kind of ruining my tomatoes. So that was a little sad and disheartening, but it happens. That's part of learning the process. So this year, I'm not going to go too much into the hydroponic system like I would like to. I just feel like currently with our location and where we're at, it just did not work as well as I would like it to, due to having like limited ability to be able to plug things into my back porch if I want to have a pumping system for my hydroponic system and everything like that. So for us, we're just going to stick to container gardens this year. So what I've done is I've created my list, and now I need to look further into seeing what containers are going to work best for me. As I mentioned before, sometimes items are just not going to grow the way you want them to because you don't have that space for them. So you have to think of those items too. If it's not going to be successful in the end just because of the space, then you probably shouldn't grow it because you, like I said, you don't want to waste that time, that money, and that energy if it's not going to be a successful product because of the limited amount of spacing. Now, the next thing to look at is calculating how much you are going to need for your urban homestead. So going back to number one, the topic that we discussed is knowing how many people you have to feed. Obviously, you know how many people you're feeding your house, but maybe you're feeding a neighbor. Maybe you're feeding additional relatives or friends and you want to have enough for them as well. So you wrote down that number. Now you have to really calculate. And there are some people who use some crazy mathematical equations to figure this out, or they do it by pounds, or they do it by this and that. I try to keep it very simple. I can tell you what, I'm not a math person. I've never liked math ever in my whole entire life. I've despised it in school. I could do any kind of paper for you, any kind of presentation. I could do any kind of science, anything like that. Don't ask me to do math because it's not one of my favorite things to do. With that being said, I've tried to make it as easy as possible when I'm trying to calculate to see how much product I'm going to need. I use it as more as a visual thing and looking at what I'm purchasing frequently. So for us, I've mentioned we love tomatoes. We eat tomatoes every single week in our homestead. We love hydroponic lettuce too, which that's a whole different ballgame in itself. I'm not going to grow that outside. It's something I'm going to, I have a hydroponic system. It's a click and grow system that I have in our apartment. And that works great for lettuce because it gives us just the right amount that we need. And it's perfect. So I'm not going to do any lettuce outside. As of now, I could change my mind because I usually change my mind on a weekly basis of what I'm growing. So I have to really, you know, nail down that list of items I want to grow. But going back to calculating how much you're going to grow. So for myself, what I do is I think of, we buy a 4-pack of Roma tomatoes every week and we eat those. Occasionally beefsteak, but we usually buy Romas. So we buy these Roma tomatoes. So we go through 4 Roma tomatoes a week. So we, from Monday to Sunday, they're gone. So I think to myself, okay, that's 4 Roma tomatoes. And then what I'll do is I'll take, okay, how many weeks does a tomato, now each tomato plant has a different lifespan. You have to look into that information. You got to do a little research. And it's always fun to do research because you learn a little thing or two that you didn't know before. But each different plant has different lifespans. So you need to look at that. If this tomato plant, say, for instance, is only going to last 64 days, then you need to take the 64 days, and as I mentioned, or weeks, or do how many weeks are in 64 days, and calculate that out, okay, by 4. So that tells you, okay, I need, for example, 100 tomatoes if we want to have fresh tomatoes up till November. So then I need to take that 100 and say, okay, which tomato plant is going to work best for us for our backyard urban homestead setting, as well as what's going to give us the most bounty for the summer going into the fall months. So I look at it as more as a visual thing. I don't have this crazy calculator that I do it. I don't do it by pounds. That's how I look at it. Now, other people, there's a lot of different tools out there on the internet that you can find that you can put in the amount of people you have and how much you eat, and it'll calculate it out for you. That works great too. I just do it more as a visual thing. So I know that the tomato plant that I usually buy produces anywhere between 80 to 100 tomato plants within the 64 days or whatever, how many days. I'm just making up numbers now. So I know that plant's going to give me 100 tomatoes, which I'm like, okay, that's perfect. That'll work for us. So if I want to do 200 tomato plants, then, or 200 tomatoes, then I know I have to do 2 tomato plants. So I do it that way. For me, that works best. For you, that may not. You need to find out what works best for you. There's a lot of different information out there about how calculating this equation is for how much you're going to need. A lot of them do it by pounds. That's completely up to you and how you want to set up a way to figure out the calculations when it comes to deciding how much of each product you want to grow. Now, the number 5 thing you need to look at is, now since you've decided how many people you're feeding, what products you're going to utilize, you're looking at your space, now you need to start your growing process. I will tell you, if you have not bought your seeds yet, you're actually behind when it comes to your garden. That's just being honest. I know a lot of places are in Pennsylvania, we really do not start planting in the ground until after Memorial Day because we usually get our last frost before Memorial Day and then we're good. So you need to look kind of at your areas and your zones to know when your last frost is and kind of look at the weather patterns. But you need to start at least your seedlings now. If you're going to start anything from seedlings, you've got to start now. And you have to be very proactive because you don't want to get behind the gun and then you're running late into the season. And if you're in a location where it does get cold, sooner into the fall, then you might run into an issue where your plants actually die because of an early frost. So keep that in mind. You have to do that research too. If you want to have a successful crop, no matter if it's in the ground or if it's in even a container, you have to look at those things, because it doesn't have to be in the ground to get frost damage. It can be in a container. So you have to look at those things as well. So you need to go get your seedlings. You need to go get your containers that you need, or however you're going to grow it, your raised beds or your hydroponic system or anything like that. You just really have to pay attention to those details. It's important if you want to have a healthy, bountiful product in the end. You have to look at those things. So it's important to sit down and kind of take 15 to 30 minutes and write down all this information. The more organized you are, the better. I will tell you that myself, I get to the point where I'm kind of a little over the top when I'm growing my products, because I'll have a binder and I'll print out everything about that product and say, okay, it has a 65-day lifespan and it's suggesting that it needs to have this kind of light and that kind of light. Okay, well, I need to put it here on my porch. I need to have it in this kind of container because it's gonna do a lot better if I have it in this area rather than that area. So do your research. If you want to invest in being able to provide for your family from your backyard or wherever it is, or inside your home or whatever location you have it, you need to take some time and figure out what works best for you. And as I mentioned earlier, don't grow things that you don't eat frequently. If you're a person where you only use cilantro when you make tacos and you only have tacos once a month, I wouldn't suggest growing cilantro. I would suggest growing something else that you are using on a daily, weekly basis, because you don't want to waste it. It's still like wasting money. Even though you grew it from the seed, you're still wasting it. So at that point, do not grow it if you do not consume it frequently enough. I highly encourage you, now is the time you need to get all of your supplies together to grow your urban garden. It's an exciting time of year, so make sure that you're getting out there, you're getting ready to grow your amazing harvest that you'll have through the summer and the fall for your family, because at the end of the day, it feels absolutely incredible to be able to consume a product in which you grew yourself, you knew where it came from, you were the one who gave it water every day, and you saw it grow from a tiny seedling to this beautiful harvest. And that's such an amazing feeling at the end of the day when you sit down and eat a night and you know that you put hard work into that product and it turned out to be an excellent product that can nourish you, can nourish your family, and you didn't have to go to the store to buy it. It is such a great feeling. So I hope you enjoyed our episode today, and I will see you on the next podcast.